They told him he'd never find another podcast. They told him he wouldn't be able to host again. He proved them all wrong, and now he's back, better than ever, with a vengeance. On lineupmedia.fm, Blake Bamper stars in Grab Your Popcorn.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for listening. Welcome to Grab Your Popcorn, the latest and possibly greatest, I don't really know, maybe one of them up there. We'll see. We're in episode two here of Grab Your Popcorn, latest and greatest podcast from lineupmedia.fm. Be sure to check us out at lineupmedia.fm. So we're covering, we're going to be doing some movie reviews today. We got one review, and then I'm going to go ahead and give you five trailers that got me excited that I saw within the past week. So first, we're going to jump in, though. I saw one of the best movies I think I've seen in a while recently in the new Christopher Nolan film, Dunkirk. It's actually Christopher Nolan's first historical film. And I was surprised to learn that, you know, after watching this movie, just because of how well they tell the story of this battle. So a little bit of a history lesson for you. In May of 1940, this is right at the beginning of World War II. The United States has not yet entered the war. So it's basically Germany against Britain, France, and their allies. And Germany at this point, you know, they have not lost a battle yet. They seem unstoppable. The rest of the world is kind of wondering, you know, what are we going to do with this madman Hitler basically in charge of nearly an unstoppable war machine. So this is in May of 1940. Germany had advanced into France, trapping the Allied troops on the beaches of Dunkirk. Under air and ground cover from British and French forces, blah, 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 troops were slowly and methodically evacuated from the beach using every serviceable naval and civilian vessel that could be found. Winston Churchill himself described the situation as a colossal military disaster, saying that the whole root and core and brain of the British Army were left stranded at Dunkirk. So you can kind of get an idea of how big a deal this was. They had 400,000 soldiers there trapped on that beach, and Germany could have easily swept through, and had these soldiers not been evacuated, you know, they could have easily swept through and just demolished a good portion of the British Army. So that's where our movie kind of starts out. We're here, we're trapped on this beach, and of course, I'm going to give no spoilers in here, so feel free to keep listening if you'd like to see the movie later. So we're looking at an estimation we're presented with at first is that only 30,000 of these soldiers would be rescued out of the 400,000. So not even 10% of these guys were looking at surviving. But by the end of this heroic mission, 330,000 French, British, Belgian, and Dutch soldiers were safely evacuated. Now, they called this a miracle. And I mean, and that doesn't count as a spoiler, folks, because this is a history movie. History itself is the spoiler. So you kind of know how this is going to end. That many people are going to get out. But the way that they told this amazing story, and this is a truly amazing story that maybe a lot of the general audience in the United States is not very familiar with. You know, I certainly wasn't going into this film. But, you know, this is one that needed to be told because just the sheer will of the British people, the citizens and the army, it really comes through in this film. You know, the writing and the direction of Christopher Nolan was absolutely impeccable. I don't think he could have done a better job. I don't think there was another direction or another way to write this story that, you know, would have come through in such a powerful way that it did. And Christopher Nolan certainly has his own visual style, a little bit darker are a lot of his movies. So I think that style fit this movie extremely well. Very good writer-director for this particular story. And credit to Hans Zimmer, the famous film composer, who delivers a score that really, really creates feelings of immense suspense and dread throughout the movie. In a film with limited dialogue like Dunkirk, you know, the score and the sound effects are key in creating that atmosphere for the audience. And I mean, the sounds of this movie, you hear and feel these planes flying above you. I would highly recommend going to see it in IMAX or another large format theater, because you're going to really want to immerse yourself in this whole scene of just all the large visual spectacle and the sounds that come through from all the military vehicles. You can really feel like you're on that beach. Now, this film is following multiple storylines at once around the evacuation. We've got one storyline going on the beach, one in the air, where there is some dogfighting going on between German and British pilots, and we get a view of some of the civilians who were coming in on their own boats, you know, just trying to lend a hand. It really creates for a whole very, very large scale, very good narrative when you see these three stories of these three different perspectives of the evacuation come through. You know, there aren't any characters that 100% dominate this movie. You know, it's hard to pick out a leading man per se, but that's because the story of the evacuation isn't about just one or two characters or one group of men. It's about the overarching efforts of the Allied forces, along with the extraordinary bravery of these ordinary civilians who risked everything, basically, to come out and help these soldiers. Now, one of those civilians is one of the people we follow, coming from their port on their just weekend yacht, going into war. And the main civilian who we see is played by Mark Rylance, who brings his two young sons with him as he attempts to rescue as many soldiers as possible from the Nazis. He's a really great character, in my opinion, because he truly exemplifies the overall mentality of these people who needed to stand up against this seemingly insurmountable force. I mean, like I said, this was when Germany's war machine was just plowing through the lower countries. They showed no signs of slowing down. And it was really when it started to hit home for the British and the French that, wow, you know, this madman Hitler, he is bent on world domination. There are no terms for to agree to. He wants it all. And that really came through in this movie, just seeing kind of the despair in a lot of the soldiers and in some of the officers' eyes. Tom Hardy is also in this movie. He's one of my favorite actors. I think he absolutely had one of his best performances as Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. That was an interesting take on the villain. But he does a great job in this movie. He plays a pilot, and he's really the main focus of the air battle. He gives a very stoic performance, not a lot of emotion going on, but, you know, that, I think, really helped to add to his character's overall bravery, and because it's really the actions that the actions that he does, what he does in the movie speaks louder than any words Tom Hardy could have said, or any sort of acting or overacting that he could have done. So really, I think the goal of his character was just to, you know, remain very stoic throughout and just get the job done, no matter what it takes. And those actions really came through in this movie, and that's why I thought he did an amazing job, even though not a lot was asked of him as an actor. And again, not a lot of dialogue for him either. Not a lot of dialogue for a lot of characters in this movie. And then we come on to arguably our leading man, Fionn Whitehead plays Tommy, a soldier on the beach who we start out with at the beginning. And this soldier, he was just a soldier on the beach, you know, just trying to survive. Basically, all these men were trapped on this beach, and they were just fish in a barrel for the German Air Force and artillery to, you know, come after. But you really feel that desperation through his character, even though he, too, has very little dialogue. That just sense of dread and just doing whatever it takes to survive and to get back home. You know, it was really moving, very, very moving performance. And overall, just a very emotional film, not from necessarily the emotions of the characters, but, you know, from the actions of these soldiers, the sacrifices that they made. And it's just all very, very well written and directed. So, again, credit to Christopher Nolan for that. Certainly, this is one of his finest films. And, you know, fans of One Direction will be excited to see Harry Styles was in this movie. He actually made his acting debut in the film. He appears about 30 minutes in and plays a secondary character, but he's actually really, he's able to show off his acting chops in a very intense sequence in this film. Now, I'm going to say that this was a very smart choice for Harry Styles to do, to try and kick off his acting career, if that's really what he's trying to get into, more acting than music. I know he's still doing a lot of music, has a few popular songs, you know, that I've heard on the radio. But if you want to get started as an actor when you're a musician, usually what these guys will do, guys and girls, what they'll do is they'll go ahead and try and wait for a leading role in a movie and hope that their name brings people to the movies. And the problem with that is really that, you know, they will, the actor themselves, the musician trying to be an actor, will be judged entirely by the quality of the film when they're the lead. So they kind of tether themselves and almost their whole acting career to just that one movie. One example I think of that is Justin Timberlake in the movie In Time. You know, he was the leading man in that. It didn't do too well. And he hasn't really been in a lot of films that I've seen lately as a leading man. Of course, he had the role in The Social Network playing the founder of Napster. Can't think of his name right now. No, Harry Styles did a very good job, too. And in this case, it wouldn't have been bad if his overall acting career was tethered to the quality of this movie. But overall, you know, this movie was an excellent visual spectacle. It gets through a lot of emotion through the actions and sacrifice of these soldiers. And just based on how well all that was done, like I said on episode one, we're going to go ahead and give these movies a rating out of 5 buckets of popcorn. So out of 5 buckets of popcorn, I will go ahead and give this movie 4.5 buckets. It was incredibly good, incredibly well done. I would recommend, you know, everyone go to see it in IMAX. Like I said, you get that full immersive experience into this movie. Definitely not one to, you know, take the kids to if you thought it might be good for them to see a bit of history unfolding. You might want to wait if you're trying to show younger children this movie so that they can get a bit of a history lesson. It would probably be better to wait till it comes out on DVD, just because, like I said, the three narratives that are going on, it could get a little difficult for a younger person to follow. But overall, I'm going to go ahead and say, boom, 4 out of 5 buckets of popcorn. This movie's getting buckets, and it is an outstanding film. Everyone should really go see it before it finishes its run at the box office. And so that's Dunkirk. Like I said earlier, we're going to go ahead. I'm going to give you 5 trailers that have gotten me excited that I've seen very recently. So 4 of these trailers were actually released at Comic-Con. So we're going to go through those first. The first one that I am very excited for is called Ready Player One. It's a Steven Spielberg film, Steven Spielberg sci-fi film. So, you know, he already has credibility in that genre. And as a director as a whole, this trailer looks incredible to me. From what I can tell, it takes place in kind of a almost a dystopian future where there are several overpopulation problems in numerous cities around the world. And the only place that these people can find solace is in a video game world called the Oasis, where they put on their virtual reality helmets and they go into this world. You know, basically anything that your imagination can think of can come alive in this world. We see in the trailer the Iron Giant from the popular animated movie standing next to a ninja who I think bore a striking resemblance to the Marvel character Deadpool. So it looks like there's going to be several different characters and references to other video games and movies and TV shows. And it looks very exciting. It looks absolutely amazing. So that one I'll be really looking out for. Also the new trailer for Kingsman, The Golden Circle, came out. This second trailer kind of gives you a better look at the Kingsman's American counterpart, The Statesman. And you can see a little bit of what they do and the funny ways that the Kingsman and the Statesman interact and kind of have a little bit of a rivalry going. So that is Kingsman: The Golden Circle. I didn't see the first Kingsman, but after seeing this trailer, I'm going to have to, just so I can get caught up and really dive into this movie, because it looks excellent. Next up, we have another one that came out at Comic-Con, a whopping 4 minute long trailer of the Justice League. This Justice League movie, there was a lot of negative speculation surrounding it for a while and a lot of rumors flying around. So DC was really on the defensive coming into this Comic-Con, but they put out a great trailer. And like I said, it's 4 minutes long. You really get an in-depth look at some of the members of the Justice League. Of course, we know that Superman died, quote-unquote, in Batman versus Superman. But it's presumed that he'll come back somehow, that he'll be brought back from the dead. Not sure how that's going to happen, but we don't see him yet in this trailer, so we can't 100% confirm that yet. There is some debate. There is a scene at the end of this trailer where Alfred Pennyworth, Bruce Wayne / Batman's butler, looks up at a character after seeing a big boom shake his cup of tea, and he looks up at the character and says, "Bruce said you would come. I only hope you're not too late." And we don't know who this character is. You know, is it Superman back from the dead, or is it someone else? This trailer led many people to believe that it was none other than the Green Lantern, because some people alleged that they saw a little speck of green light reflecting in Alfred's glasses that he was wearing. And in the beginning of this trailer, we hear the villain of this movie, the presumed villain, Steppenwolf. Weird name, right? Steppenwolf. Kind of sounds like the stepfather of somebody's wolf who was, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with that. I'm sorry you had to hear my analogy. But, you know, he says, "This world is unprotected. There are no lanterns, no Kryptonian." So the Kryptonian, obviously speaking to Superman, saying that he's dead. But the lanterns, we know, or fans of DC Comics will know, that the Green Lantern Corps, the core of Green Lanterns that the Earth Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, is a member of, they kind of act as space cops and protect different sectors of space. And so by him saying there are no lanterns, that shows us that the Lantern Corps is alive in this DC Entertainment universe. But we don't know if the original Green Lantern, Hal Jordan, is on Earth at the moment. So it could be possible that this character being teased at the end of the trailer is either a newly reincarnated or newly alive Superman, or simply the Green Lantern from Earth come to help the Justice League fight. We can't say right now for sure, but there's a lot of speculation around that going on. Finally, the last trailer from Comic-Con that has me absolutely excited is Thor Ragnarok. This is the third installment in the Thor franchise. I believe the 17th or 18th movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe that will carry on the overarching storyline that started back in 2008. We really have a lot of characters in this, and this trailer showcases those characters very well. The Incredible Hulk will be in this movie, and we actually get to see the Hulk speak in an extended conversation at the end of the trailer for, you know, the first time for a lot of Marvel fans who have been following the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's speaking to Thor, and Thor looks at him and says, "Oh, look at us, two muscle-bound hotheads, what people must think." And Hulk says, "Yes, Hulk like fire, Thor like water." And Thor kind of almost feels insulted by this, so he says, "Oh, well, you know, we're both kind of like fire." "Ah, yes, but Hulk like raging fire, Thor like smoldering fire." And, of course, we get to see more of the villain, Hela, who is the Queen of the Dead, as she's introduced in this trailer. She's trying to bring about Ragnarok, or the end of everything. So that's what the title there is, Ragnarok, another word for apocalypse, seemingly. And, you know, this trailer makes the movie look like an absolutely amazingly fun ride. And I just can't wait for this one. This is November 3rd. And off the top, I know Justice League comes out November 22nd. Or 27th. Sorry. Sorry, everybody. Now, we've got another trailer. The fifth trailer that has me absolutely jacked for this movie is, it didn't come from Comic-Con. But, or it might have came from Comic-Con. I'm not 100% sure. It's not a comic book or sci-fi related film, though. It's a horror film, the remake of Stephen King's It. Now, the original It, we know, was two TV specials split up. It starts out, we see the children who are living in Derry, and they're dealing with Pennywise the Clown, or It, as he's known. And then in the second part, we see them come back, and they have to deal with him again as adults. It looks like in this movie what they're going to be doing, they're going to do this movie where they're children, and then have another movie come out either next year or in 2 years, where they are all adults, and they have to deal with Pennywise the Clown once again. This second trailer that came out for It looks absolutely terrifying. I mean, I've never been a fan of clowns in any way, and if you're planning on, you know, bringing a clown to your child's birthday party, don't let them watch this trailer. It will just give them nightmares every time, you know, they see a clown. I couldn't believe it, honestly. It looks, you know, incredible. It looks like they're really gonna try and A lot of these remakes, what they'll do is they'll try and be so different from the original that they just go off the reservation, and they kind of just get bogged down in their own, you know, in their own originality, I guess would be the word. But this movie really looks like it's going to stay true to the original book and film that was later made, and but just using updated technology, using different plot lines that they're able to show. They'll be able to show more of the gore in this movie, since it will likely be rated R, and you know, not made for TV as the original one was released. And you really get a good look at Pennywise the Clown and all the kids in the quote-unquote Losers Club, as they call themselves in the book and in the old movie. But yeah, if you're a fan of It, check this trailer out, you know, as soon as possible. I mean, it is absolutely nails. I am very excited for that movie. I believe that comes out somewhere here in September. So not too long until we will all have our nightmares haunted by Pennywise the Clown. So now that'll do it for this episode of Grab Your Popcorn. Next week we're gonna be. I'm gonna go ahead and review three movies for you. We're gonna go see Valerian, the blockbuster that came out. You know, that's it's being heralded as one of the greatest visual spectacles since Avatar, and I'm one who likes a good visual spectacle. So I'll certainly have a good in-depth review about that. And then Atomic Blonde, the Charlize Theron film that they're calling the first, an actual female James Bond, is the comparison that's being made. So a lot of hype around that. Very excited. And then we will see what new movie we can review for next episode. Don't forget to subscribe and download. And if you're listening, you are listening on lineupmedia.fm. Be sure to check out lineupmedia.fm. Got a whole mess of podcasts of any variety, really, that you can go and enjoy. We've got Parenting Food Allergy to The Ocho Man to an Armenia Proud show for Armenian culture. So be sure to check those out and go ahead and subscribe and download this. Well, I guess you've already downloaded this if you've made it this far. But yeah, go ahead and subscribe. That way you'll just get the next episode right there on your phone for you. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Popcorn Pod and like our Facebook page. So that does it for me. Until next time, I am your host, Blake Bamper. Everybody have a very good evening or morning, whatever it is for you.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.